Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Cain does this hand to hand and kills Abel. In any case, you have the first murder, and so you have Satan at the end of that whole thing. Your descendant is not going to crush my head. And moving on. And then there are more children that are born and more children that are born. And then you see Satan going after the whole race of mankind. And that's with the flood. In Genesis 6, 2 through 5, it says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And that's not talking about the lifespan of man, most likely. That's talking about the period of time till the flood comes and kills them all. And so that's the period of time that the ark was being prepared. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And I realized I opened up another can of worms, and we're just going to let that wriggle too. In any case, weird things were going on, and it looks like Satan's going after the whole race of man. It goes on and says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and that's when he brings in the flood. Only one family is saved from that. Then that family gets attacked immediately after the flood. They do sacrifices. The Bible says that Noah gets drunk. His son Ham sees him drunk and naked, goes and mocks him to his brothers, and then the brothers come in and cover up Noah, and there's this whole weird family dynamic that's going on there. And again, you see an attack on the descendants of the woman that is mentioned. Later on, you have Abraham, and he's introduced as the one who's going to bring in blessing on the whole earth, bring in the Messiah specifically, that it's from his descendants that all the earth is going to be blessed. And in Genesis 16, there's this situation with a woman named Hagar. And what was supposed to happen is Abraham and Sarah are supposed to have a child. It's supposed to be a miracle child. And God was going to bring that descendant through that child, not through anything else. And Abraham had a lapse of faith, gone down to Egypt, came back with servants and male servants and female servants. And one of them was named Hagar. And when Sarah got dejected, when she got depressed about not being able to have a baby, she said, Abraham, maybe we need to do it this way, because God said that you are going to have the baby. He hasn't said anything about me. Let's do Hagar, and Hagar can be the mom of your child. We will adopt the baby, and maybe that's how God's going to do this. And now we have the Arab-Israeli conflict thousands of years later, and it all came from a lapse of faith on Abraham's part and on Sarah's part. And again, it's an attack. As soon as God reveals Abraham as the one, Satan starts attacking immediately because he doesn't want his head crushed. Later on, David is identified as being the one that the line of Messiah is going to come through. Literally, his son rebels against him and tries to kill him off at that point. And so you have the father being killed off and the son being so wicked that he couldn't be used of God. And yet God thwarts that whole thing. Later on, you have Haman. We got done with the book of Esther not too long ago. And you have Haman again from that group of people who want to destroy the Jews. And he goes after them with a vengeance. And we still have that stuff going on today. I've been doing a study on Wednesdays about Israel and the last days. And one of the major players in last days events is the country of Turkey. And so just in the last few weeks, Turkey has, actually Erdogan, the president of Turkey, has come out with some statements about Israel. It says he called for Israeli leaders to be tried for war crimes at the International Court of Justice in The Hague, and repeated his view and Turkey's position that Hamas is not a terrorist organization, but a political party that won the last Palestinian legislative elections held in 2006. We couldn't do both, of course not. They couldn't both be a terrorist organization and be elected. In any case, he goes on and says, I say clearly that Israel is a terrorist state, Erdogan told members of his Justice and Development Party in Parliament. While we curse the Israeli administration, we do not forget those who openly support these massacres and those who go out of their way to legitimize them, he said, pointing to the United States and other Western allies of Israel. We are faced with a genocide, Erdogan added. He called on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to announce whether Israel has nuclear weapons, and added that Netanyahu would soon be a goner from his post. Ankara would take steps to ensure Israeli settlers in occupied Palestinian territories are recognized as terrorists, he said. And so Israel has always been persecuted by Satan, always. From the time that they were identified as being the group of people that Messiah was going to come through, even after Messiah came, and the reason is because God has set his love on the people of Israel, and Satan hates anything that God loves. And so he continues to go after them, and that's what's going to happen during the tribulation period, you guys. That's what we're reading in Revelation chapter 12. Satan is going after the people of Israel during the tribulation period. They're going to be have to be hidden in the wilderness for 3.5 years during that period of time. And we are seeing the forerunner of this whole series of events in the attitude that's changed toward the nation of Israel within 70 years of the Holocaust, of all things. And it's satanic, is what I'm telling you. This is satanic. And you, again, need to understand this. By the time that Jesus comes, we read about, or we talked about the Gospel of Matthew and the Magi coming to Jerusalem. Magi were kingmakers. They came from outside the Roman Empire, from the land of Persia. They came from outside the Roman Empire. They're looking for the king of the Jews. They go to Jerusalem, that is the capital of Judea. And there's a guy in Jerusalem named Herod the Great, who has the title that was given to him by the Romans, and the title is King of the Jews. So imagine he's sitting there, and these guys come in and say, where's the King of the Jews going to be born? And he says, what are you talking about? Well, we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him, and so can you tell us where he's going to be born? He calls for the chief priests and the scribes to come and tell him. They tell him Bethlehem, 5 miles south. They tell him Bethlehem, and then King Herod says, when you find him, come and tell me, because I want to come and worship him too, which he did not, because Herod was jealous of his name, King of the Jews, so jealous that he killed two of his own sons and his wife. One of his sons he killed right before he died. He knew he was going to die, still killed him off, because the guy was so freakish about his kingdom and being the king of the Jews. He wanted to kill the Messiah. He wanted to kill Jesus. And there was no stopping this guy. There was no outrage that Herod the Great would not perform. And so you have the slaughter of the innocents after Herod finds out that the Magi left a different way. So in Matthew 2:16 through 18, it says, then Herod, when he saw he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great was heard in Ramah, mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So this maniac killed off every little boy in Bethlehem that was under 2 years old, because that's when the Magi said that they saw the star. And he went after them all. Israel is the source and vessel of God's blessing to the earth. And so Satan attacks Israel. There's a passage in Genesis 12, 2 through 3 that says, I will make you a great nation, talking to Abraham, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. If Satan can get you to curse Israel, he's got you right where he wants you. Because you curse Israel, God curses you. And Satan wants God to curse the people of the earth. So you have this continuing war that goes on. You have the war on Christmas all through the Bible. They have a war on the coming of the Messiah all through the Bible, and it continues to this day. And so, you know, we've got various attacks on Christmas. This year, it's all about Israel. It's all about the people of Israel, and you have specifically attacks on the Jews. You have people calling Israeli separation from Gaza and war on Hamas genocide. You know, that Gaza was given its autonomy in 2011. The Jews have built up fences around Gaza because the Gazans keep infiltrating Israel and killing people. And so they put up fences. But since 2011, Gaza's population has increased by almost 1 million people. That's a really weird genocide, where you have a population increase of 1/3 of your people. There were about 1.7 million when this whole thing started. And you have a population increase that size. I kind of don't think that's a genocide. Bethlehem and Jordan and most of Europe have canceled Christmas celebrations because of pro-Palestinian pronouncements against Israel. And of course, you got California following all that with Newsom canceling a tree lighting for fear of pro-Palestinian protesters. How about you just call out the cops and make them not do nasty stuff? How about we just do that? Last year, King County in Washington, their HR department banned Christmas and religious decorations for inclusiveness reasons. And their statement was, others may not share your beliefs, but LGBTQ and trans rights displays were okay. And so Christmas becomes a target, and all these other immoral issues are absolutely okay. Then you got people who mock what I'm saying about the war on Christmas. They go, there's no war on Christmas. That was made up by Fox News, you know, that kind of stuff. And so they start mocking people who say that there's a war on Christmas for stating the obvious, that ungodly people want to marginalize Christians and keep them out of the public square. Why? And the reason is because we talk about Jesus. And they don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't even know why they don't want to hear about Jesus. It's satanic. He is trying to stop Jesus from being somebody that influences your life. And it's the weirdest thing. Anytime Israel is dealt with, anytime Jesus is dealt with, all of a sudden, all rationality goes out, and you can't have a reasonable conversation with some people over these things. And the reason is because it's not rational, it's spiritual. And Satan is still hovering and trying to destroy Messiah in your life. Even Christians get into this stuff. And this is something that you need to watch out for, and you need to make sure that you don't do. I was one of those guys that kind of picked on Christmas. And the reason I did this is because I got a hold of a book. It was called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. It was recommended to me by somebody that I highly respected. And I went through it and I read it, and it talked about Christmas trees and Christmas ornaments and Christmas decorations, and said that they all came from paganism, that the date for Christmas came from paganism, and all this kind of stuff. And so I went for that for about 10 years. We've always had Christmas trees because my wife wants them. And she will not submit, right? And so we've always had Christmas trees, and when the Christmas trees would go up, she'd be decorating it, and I'd be singing to her, oh, Christmas tree, we all bow down and worship thee. You worship that, oh, Christmas tree, you are a pagan on your knees. I guess I made that all up. Now, not the old Christmas tree part. I used to sing that. The last two lines were something that the Holy Spirit gave me just now. So about 10 years later, I found out that there's no good footnotes to this whole thing, and that Alexander Hislop didn't have his facts straight. And here's the reality. Christmas is not based on paganism. Have you guys heard of Saturnalia? Raise your hand if you've heard of Saturnalia. How many of you have sort of heard of Saturnalia on your own and not from me? Raise your hands. Okay, about half of you. Okay, so Saturnalia was this celebration that happened in the winter. It did not happen on December 25th. It happened on December 17th. Then later on in the Roman Empire, it got extended twice. to a three-day feast, and then finally to a seven-day feast, and when it went from the 17th to the 23rd. And so Saturnalia is not the source of December 25th for the birth of Christ. There is another celebration that the Romans came up with, the celebration of Sol Invictus. And you probably don't know anything about this, and I know that this is not interesting to you, but I don't care. So it's the idea, it's the celebration of the victorious sun. And so they did date that on December 25th, but this wasn't until the 400s, and the date for Christmas was made in the 100s AD. I've got the quotes. I've got the books. I've got the guys who wrote these things down. And so where the date for Christmas came from was the date of Jesus's death. And so they believed in the 100s that Jesus died on March 25th. They also believed that great men were conceived on the same day that they died. And so Jesus would have been conceived on March 25th. And so that puts Gabriel and Mary talking on that date, and 9 months later would be, guess what? December 25th. That's where the date for Christmas came from, and it came in the second century, long before this other stuff ever even came up. Some people have talked about Mithras and Mithras being born on December 25th. If you ever got anybody that's saying that anybody was born on December 25th, It's nothing but nonsense, because the Bible never says December 25th. Never says it. So we don't know for sure when Jesus was born. That's just the date that they celebrated it. And I'm telling you that the date came before this other nonsense. It's not based on paganism. And so, again, Mithras was a mystery religion. They didn't have any public ceremony, so it wouldn't matter when Mithras was born. They wouldn't tell anybody. And so that is that whole thing. And in any case, Roman Mithraism postdates Christianity. In fact, Christianity was first, not Mithras. Okay? And so you have that. Christmas trees. You know, I was talking about Christmas trees. Christmas trees are not biblical. Even in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 is not about a Christmas tree. It's about idols. And they would take and cut down trees and, put gold and silver on them and that kind of stuff, and make them into an idol. That's what that passage is about. There was no such thing as Christmas trees until the Middle Ages. And in the Middle Ages, Christians had plays that were called paradise plays, in which they reenacted the fall of man. And so the Christmas tree originally was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is where you get apples on the tree of knowledge from, because they put apples on those trees. It's the middle of winter, and that's the last good fruit. And so that's where the apple came from. That's where your ornaments also come from, hanging on trees. And so Christmas trees are thoroughly Christian. They just don't happen to be biblical. And so if you want a Christmas tree, you can have a Christmas tree, and you can be okay with that. Santa Claus is a real live guy. He really is. He originally lived in Turkey back in the 300s, and he was called Nikolaos of Myra, and he was known for sneaking into people's houses and leaving money for them. And I'm going to leave that right where that's at, but that's where that whole thing came from. And he was a pastor. He was somebody who loved Jesus. And obviously, he's still alive because he's somebody who loves Jesus. So, out of all the stuff... out of all the stuff connected with Christmas that can be pagan, the only thing that I've ever found that is actually pagan is mistletoe. So if you have mistletoe in your house, you know, if I come over, we're going to have to take you out and stone you. And so why does Satan go after Christmas? Why does he go after this whole thing? And it's because Satan hates the message. Hates the message of Christmas. And so whether it's unbelievers attacking Christmas or whether it's believers attacking Christmas, the reason it's happening is because of spiritual issues. Christmas is all about the incarnation of God. God come down to save the earth from their sins. The message of Christmas, my favorite passage on that is in the Gospel of Luke. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, in verses 8 through 14. Very first time I heard this is on Charlie Brown Christmas with Linus. I'm a little kid, and I'm listening to it, and I'm weeping while Linus is talking, and I don't know why. There are a few times in my life where God was getting through to me, and they're notable because they were notable. Verse 8, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Satan hates the message. And the reason is because the message takes away the power of Satan. When somebody comes into a real relationship with the Messiah that God sent, Satan has no power over those people anymore. The Bible talks about the fact that Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but the roaring lion has been declawed. You ever seen people who've taken their cats and declawed them? Boy, that's pitiful. That's a pitiful thing for the poor cat. You know, they still go around, they try to do their little clawy thing on the couches and on your pants and all that stuff, but they've got nothing to claw with anymore. If they go after a mouse, it's just like a big pad coming across the mouse's head, and the mouse sits there and looks at him and goes, "Ha!" You know, and it's like, it's pitiful when a cat is declawed, and that's exactly the situation with Satan. He's a roaring lion, but God's declawed him. He's a dragon, but God's defanged him in the life of a believer, and Satan doesn't want that to happen. And so what Satan tries to do continually is neutralize the message of the Messiah. And so then Christmas becomes not about the gift of the Son of God coming down to the earth to take my place on the cross so I won't have to go to hell. He makes about not about the gift, but about gift giving and shopping. And the problem with shopping, once again, is that there are people involved. And they're irritating, and they step in front of you in line. You go to the discount basin, and somebody goes up and grabs the thing that you had your eye on, maybe even your hand on, and what you want to do is turn to them, take out your weapon, and shoot them. These people that are doing these things to you are people that Jesus died for. They're people that God really cares about. He really loves them. And I think that shopping for gifts is a great thing. If Jesus would give your wife a gift, Jesus would give your husband a gift, Jesus would give your children gifts for Christmas, he would do this. He would give your mom and your dad a gift, especially your dad would be given a gift, and it would be a really good gift and thoughtful, just advocating for all the dads out there. My daughter's right there. it takes away the whole main focus of Christmas, which is the gift of eternal life, the gift of God coming down to take our place on the cross, and he makes it about shopping instead. When you become a Christian, you become part of the family of God. And that's really the point of Messiah coming, to bring back in the family, to bring those who are lost back into a relationship with God. And one of the cool things about the family of God is a lot of us have come from families that are just so tweaked and so messed up.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.